Keep going.
Thank you. All right. which, by the way, I would highly, highly recommend, if you missed that sermon on margins, look it up on the website, because that's a great one. Today, we're digging into our need for scheduling margin, which in some ways is really kind of a feel-good topic, because, I mean, just by a show of hands, how many of us would say, I would love to have just a little bit more time for myself? Anybody? Maybe a little bit more time to rest or do something you enjoy. Does that resonate with anybody here? Would anybody's life be a little bit better if you had more time for yourself? All right, how about if you had just a little bit more time for your family, right? Whose life wouldn't be better? If you have family in the room, raise your hand. You better be raising your hand for family, right? Because we need some more time with those people. Or how about if you ever thought to yourself, I would just love to have a little bit more time with my God. And he is in the room, so right? I know in a perfect world, we would all like to spend more time with our God and with our family. But the truth is, I think if we actually had one extra hour in our day, you know, if we woke up tomorrow morning and God said, poof, there are now 25 hours in a day from now on, it's highly unlikely we would spend that extra hour doing what's most important to us. Because the reality is that we live in a world that just overwhelms whatever margins we've created. I mean, think about the last time you had an unexpected time off or some unexpected days off. Teachers know what I'm talking about. What do we call them, teachers? Snow days. Yes. Yeah. Chances are pretty good that the last time you had a snow day or some unexpected time, we didn't spend that time in the glorious presence of our Heavenly Father. Chances are we ran some errands. Because, you know, we can't get to the schools, but Marshall's is open, am I right? Maybe you got caught up on some chores, or maybe you got ahead at work, or maybe you caught up on some emails, or you cleaned that room that you've been avoiding. Chances are there are many things that overwhelm what we would say are truly, truly important in our lives. You know, and I think about it like kind of the picture of the car being out of alignment again. You know, when car's wheels are out of alignment, it just constantly pulls to one side, and you have to diligently be correcting and fighting against that pull, or you're going to end up in another lane, or you're going to end up on the side of the road. You're going to end up somewhere where you don't want to be. And just being human, right, having a human nature automatically makes us out of alignment with God. We are all sinners by nature, and that human nature and that world are constantly pulling us off center into a marginless life. So throughout this series, we have been defining margin as that amount that's available beyond what is necessary. In other words, it's the difference between what we have and what we need. Bing, there's your margin. In our scheduling lives, margin would be having more time than we need, right? It's having extra time. What in the world would that look like, right? Having extra time or more time than we need? I think having extra time would be being able to help someone without coming up with a million reasons why we can't or shouldn't be helping someone at the moment. It's having the time to listen to your kids and not be thinking, I wish they would hurry up and get to the point already. It's not that that's ever happened to me. It's having the time to not be interrupted, even in the middle of a video game, without being angry about it, right? It's having the time to rest and relax and reflect. It's having time to spend with the people that we love. It's not always fighting because we just never seem to connect intimately. It's having plenty of quality time with your Heavenly Father. And sadly, it's kind of the thing that none of us have a lot of. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. This is the verse that's going to be guiding us as we talk about scheduling margins today. It says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. We are living in evil days. And the default in this world, what's normal, it's not wisdom, but foolishness. And we have to fight against that in order to do what's wise. We have to be careful how we live, Scripture says. It's not going to come naturally. We have to be careful to live wisely. Right? We can't be thoughtless with our time, or we'll end up acting like the fools of this world, instead of doing what the Lord wants us to do. That's what this verse is all about. Now, which kind of begs the question, what's the difference between the way that the foolish person and the wise person uses their time? Again, let's go with the idea that that foolish is normal. What's a normal way that we all make decisions about our time? If someone were to come up to you and say, hey, can you do such and such next Saturday? How would you make that decision? Besides going and asking your wife, if your family's anything like mine, because she kind of keeps the schedule. But no matter if you make the decision alone or if you make it with a group, all of us kind of tend to look at our calendar and we ask ourselves, are we free? Right? Because if we're free, then we can do it, right? And that's not a bad question. Probably is not the best question, though. And some of us might even ask follow-up questions like, is this a good thing? Should I do it? Is it a good thing? We might even go so far as to ask ourselves, is it something that I would enjoy? Again, these are not bad questions, but today when it comes to margins and making wise decisions with our time, I want to recommend we ask another question, one that Andy Stanley recommends in his book on margins. And that question is it wise? Now, how do we make that decision? Well, honestly, if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this next point down and circle it about 50,000 times. If you're not taking notes, I just want you to take a mental picture of it, because I think this is the linchpin in scheduling margin in our lives. And that question is, or the statement is, in light of blank, is it wise? In light of blank, is it wise? I would encourage us all, when we're making decisions about our schedule, to fill in that blank with whatever it is that's going on, whatever it is that's important in our life right now. And we all go through seasons in our lives. Our priorities change based on our jobs. They're based on our families and how they grow. They're based on, you know, things we need when we're older. They change when God starts working on certain sin areas in our lives. There are so many things that happen in our lives that can affect our priorities. But whatever it is that's going on in our lives right now, I want us to make our scheduling decisions in light of that fact. Right? So it could be, in light of where I want to go to college, is it wise for me to do that? It could be in light of my current family situation, is that wise? In light of my aging parents, is it wise? In light of the fact that my marriage is not where God wants it to be, is it wise that I take on something like this? In light of the fact that we have two children in diapers, is it wise that I spend my time over here? In light of the fact that I have a 17-year-old with only 1 year left under my roof, is it wise that I do this? In light of the fact that I'm going to be graduating next year, in light of the fact that my finances are unsure, or in light of the fact that our days on this earth are numbered, or in light of whatever it is that's going on in your life, is it wise? To me, I think that is the best way to make decisions about our time. It's not about, am I free? Is it right? Is it good? Is it wrong? Can I do it? But is it wise? So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Is it wise? Now, it's not always an easy question to answer either. I know, like from personal experience, that it is so easy and tempting to be foolish with our time, because I'm fairly certain if there was like an Olympic sport at foolish use of your time, I know I would be on the American team for foolishness in time and how I spend it, right? Along with maybe some other people in the competition, you never know. But let's keep thinking about that. How do we answer that question of, is it wise? Well, first and foremost, I think in order to answer it correctly, we have to want God's best for our lives.
Amen.
Now, I know it kind of sounds like a no-brainer because, you know, who wouldn't want God's best for our lives? But seriously, think about this. If we truly want what God's best is in our lives, we have to have the courage to say no to many good things in order to say yes to the best things. And that's not easy to do, is it? Because we do a lot of things that are pretty good. But we do. We have to be willing to say no to good things in order to say yes to the best things. And the reason for that is because we can fill our lives with good things, and yet those good things can keep us from experiencing God's best for our lives. Are we willing to stop doing things just because we're free? Just because it sounds good or it sounds like fun? In order to ask ourselves the question, in light of whatever it is that's going on in my life right now, wherever God has me, whatever God is working on in my life, wherever God has placed me, is it wise that I do that with my time? Now, Carol this morning brought us back to Romans 12, 1 through 2. We've been hearing it for 2 weeks because this truth is incredibly an important part of making margins in our lives. I want to look at it again. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. As believers, we are to be transformed into new creations. We are supposed to be different from this world. Because the world is foolish, right? That's their normal. But we're supposed to be wise in the way that we live. And the world's not going to understand that. Right? It's not going to understand what we're doing is wise. They're just going to think we're different. They're going to call us weird because we're turning down good things. Who turns down good things? That sounds like a good thing. Why would you turn that down? But that's okay. Right? Because I would much rather live a weird life, aka be in God's will, which brings blessings, than live in the normal world and the struggles and the consequences that it brings. Because what is normal in this world? Right? What's normal these days for marriage? What's normal? Divorce. Right? Right now, divorce rates are still holding strong at 50% in the church and outside of the church. Right? And that's just first-time marriages. The statistics go up after you've had been married once. If you go in it a second time or a third time, they just go up. What's normal for kids these days? What do they see on television and the movies? Rebellion, right? Can't do what the parents want. Got to fight against the parents. Got to fight against the machine or the teachers or whoever it is. What's normal for relationships? Emptiness, right? Because we need to find someone else in order to be whole. And then when that person's gone, then we better fill that hole with someone else. What's normal when it comes to scheduling? Being overwhelmed, being overworked, frenzied, stressed, miserable, being busy yet empty. That's normal in our world. I mean, how many times have you asked the question to someone, just a friend of yours, how are you? What do they say?
Busy,
right? That's normally the number one response. Or stressed, or things are crazy today, or I'm running around. And how many times do we answer that question that way ourselves? And how many times have you heard someone, though, on the other side of that, how many times have you heard someone say, when you ask, how are you, they say, oh, I'm great. You know, I'm just having another one of those relaxing days, right? I don't have a lot going on today, so it's pretty good. And even if that were true, I don't think we would feel comfortable saying that out loud, because the assumption in our culture is we're supposed to be busy, right? And if you're not busy, then you must be a slacker, or you must be lazy, or there's something wrong with you. Because in our culture, we buy into the lie that being busy equals being productive. But in reality, busyness can be the opposite of being productive, right? We can be busy doing useless things, because busyness does not equal importance. And busyness does not equal meaning. I mean, how many times have we talked about it on a Sunday morning? If Northside, if the enemy can't make you bad, he will make you busy, right? So many of us allow good things to keep us busy and keep us from God's best in our lives. And that's why I want us to have the courage and the faith to say no to good things in order to say yes to God's things. Just because we can do something doesn't mean that we should do something. Now, I know we find ourselves presented with many opportunities, and we might think, you know, how can I say no to that, right? Because it's such an amazing program, or they're such nice people, or this is such a wonderful idea. How can I possibly say no to that? Many of you know are a part of the Great Banquet, right, which is an amazing Christian retreat that I've served on spiritual team for, and many of you have been on team too. It happens twice a year. When I first joined that community, I wanted to be a part of every single retreat they put together. It does such amazing work for the gospel, and it re-energizes me personally. But the problem is that of those two retreats they put on a year, one of them always falls on the weekend of April 25th. And that's the birthday of my twins, Eli and Sam. And I'm embarrassed to say that I did not make a wise choice in the beginning. I was so enamored with the goodness of the retreat that I never stopped to ask myself, is it wise? Right? In light of my son's birthdays, and in light of showing them how important they are to me, it was and it is a good thing, but it's not wise for me to be a part of that in the spring. Because what's best for me at this stage in my life is to celebrate the milestones of my children's lives. Amen. Now, there may come a time in my life when they're off and they're living on their own, and it might be wise for me to be a part of that retreat in the spring, but not now. In light of where God has me right now. And I know another family with lots and lots and lots of kids who spent several years fighting for perfection in their home. They always kind of felt like they were fighting a losing battle of having the house to be clean all the time. Almost every day, there was an argument about cleaning. Till one day, one of the parents asked the question, you know, what if we chose relationships over tasks? You know, what if we intentionally didn't try to have the perfect house? What if when friends came over, we didn't want to show them our house, we wanted to show them our relationships with our kids? It might seem weird to have a dirty home, right? Because having a clean home, that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. But sometimes it's necessary to give up a good thing in order to go after a best thing. Of course, I'm not talking about living in filth. You guys know what I'm saying here, right? In light of the fact that our time with our children is limited, they decided it was wise to spend time with their kids every day. Some families make the decision to have no technology in their home or to have no technology on one particular day, which again, is that weird in our culture? Yeah, right? But they do that so they can have a family game night or so they can always have dinner together on a particular night. In light of the fact that their time on this earth and with their family is limited, they decided that was wise. The choices we make with our families will look different depending on what's going on in our lives right now. But it's important to stop and ask the question before we commit our time, in light of what's going on, in light of where I am, in light of what God's working in on my life, in light of how old my kids are, in light of what's going on in my family or with my parents, is it wise? Now, here's the sad truth for us as Christians. There are two things, I would say, that are phenomenally important in our relationship with Christ and living out our faith walk. He calls us to these, to be a part of our regular day, everyday lives, right? But as soon as our margin is squeezed, in almost every instance, these two most important, crucial parts of our faith life are almost always the first things we drop. We typically let these go before we let go of anything else. Anybody know what the first one is? Church can be a big one, yes, and probably even before, yeah, quiet times with God, right? Daily quiet time. We see we need to be in his presence every day. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give us everything we need. Everything we need. Is he talking about like practical items, right? When he says everything we need, well, look what comes right before this. So don't worry about these things saying what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear, practical everyday things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. When we place God before everything else in his rightful place in our lives, he's going to provide for our daily needs. This is very similar to the idea of finances Carrie talked about last week. It's like a tithe. When we give the first part of our finances to God, then he blesses the rest. Right? We cannot outgive God. If we give him the first 10%, I promise you, we will be able to do way more with that 90% than we ever could with the full 100. Why? Because when we put God first in our lives, he takes care of the rest. Works in our finances, and it works in our time. If we seek him above all else and live righteously, he will give us everything we need. Now, if you've ever taken the time to share the start of your day with God, you know. It's almost as if you have more time in your day, right? It's like you're being more productive. Because when we stay connected to our Heavenly Father, we're more sensitive to the things that we should do and the things we shouldn't do. It's easier to recognize distractions and those things that keep us busy, but maybe they're not best, right? Maybe they're not God's will for our lives. Maybe it's our will for our lives, or maybe it's someone else's will for our lives. It's also easier to see those things that God so obviously wants us to say yes to when we're connected to him. Now, I remember a few months ago, Maria, my beautiful wife, she was nominated for a Golden Apple Award again. And if you, yes, you, yeah, absolutely. Which, if you're a teacher in the state of Illinois, you know it's a big deal because, like, the events are televised on Channel 11, right? Which is very fancy, Channel 11. And there's a cash award, and you get a scholarship to go back to Northwestern University. It's very prestigious. And Maria's response to that was, no, thank you. I don't really have the time for that right now. Which is really kind of cool, right? Because isn't that what you want from like amazing teachers? Is that's wonderful, you've got that award, but I don't have time for that because I'm teaching right now. Because that process has a lot to do. There's a lot of steps. It's long. And I know she has a clear sense of purpose and where to spend her time and energy. And I trust that because her quiet time is so precious to her. And I know that she protects that. And so she has a clear idea of where it's worth and where it's not worth spending her time. And that's important for all of us. You know, in our first week of this series, Carrie asked us all to spend 5 minutes a day, right? Just 5 minutes a day being in the presence of God. I'm not going to ask you how you did, right? But that time is we're supposed to come to God and not really with any purpose. We're just supposed to be with him and answer or listen to his leading or what he puts on your hearts. And this week, I want to add to that challenge. First part is, if you haven't done it yet, do it. Find 5 minutes. Set 5 minutes on your phone so you don't fall asleep, those of you who know who you are, right? Just put 5 minutes on your phone, sit down on the couch, and if the good Lord lets you sleep, then sleep for 5 minutes. If he puts someone else on your heart, then start praying for that person for 5 minutes. If he doesn't put anything on your heart, just maybe stand there and wait for him. If you spend 5 minutes waiting on God, it's worth it, right? If you've already done that, double it. 10 minutes a day, right? Set a 10-minute alarm on your phone. Step it up. And I'm going to ask you to put it at the beginning of your day. Now, it's not that we can't do it at any time of the day. I know that we can, but when we place God first in our day, literally at the first in our day, it changes the entire day. It changes what comes after that. Things are more productive. They're more in place because we have sought our Heavenly Father in the first part of our day. So instead of letting go of our time with him when our margins get smaller, if we'll actually put him first, I promise you, your margins will automatically increase. I don't know how he does it, but I know he does it, right? His word is true. And it tells us that if we seek him, we're going to have all that we need, right? And all that we need includes time. And the second thing that's important in our Christian walk, which is also something we quickly abandon when our schedules get full, are intentional times of rest. That's an important thing. It's more important than we realize. Matthew 11, 28 through 29, then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who carry a heavy burden," right? All of you that are overwhelmed, all of you that are hurting, all the single parents who don't think they can make it another day, all the people that are grieving the loss of a loved one, all those people that are overburdened because of businesses, who are stressed out because of finances, those who are scared because of school, come to me and I will give you rest. You know, I think sometimes the fact that we walk around so stressed and so overburdened and so overwhelmed is because, regardless of what we say, we're really not bringing these things to him. Right? Because Jesus tells us that when we bring them to him, we will find rest for our souls. I mean, think about it. Most of us, when we get busy, when we lose margin in our lives, when we lose time margins, we feel like we can't afford to take rest, right? Because that's working against us. But rest is an important part of our walk with Jesus. I mean, even God rested, right? God worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested, right? It's one of the Ten Commandments. There it is. Remember to observe each Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That's weird, right? In our world, that's not normal. But there are some stores that still kind of operate that way. People that set those days aside, Chick-fil-A does it, Hobby Lobby does it, many other ones do it. Some people say it's foolish because you're going to lose customers and you're going to lose money. But they know if you put God first, he's going to take care of everything you need. In the Old Testament, God said, Leviticus 25:3, "For 6 years you may plant your fields and prune your vineyards and harvest your crops. But during the seventh year, the land must have a Sabbath year of complete rest." Could you imagine doing that in business today? You can already hear the argument in your head working against it. Like, no way, we have to make money, we have to produce. They're worried about surviving that seventh year, right? Because that seems like a legitimate worry of that seventh year. But listen to how God responds to the worry. You know, you may ask, what will you eat during the seventh year since we're not allowed to plant and harvest crops that year? Be assured that I will send my blessing for you in the sixth year so the land will produce a crop large enough to eat for 3 years. In this passage, they're worried about the seventh year, 1 year, and God says, well, not only am I going to take care of the seventh year, but I'm also going to give you enough for the eighth year and the ninth year. More in 6 years than they could possibly make working on their own in seven. It's a principle of faith. Do we believe God's word is true? The answer to that question is evident by what we do with our time. At the end of the day, I think there's a real strong temptation to say we're too busy or we're too important to take a rest. Right? I mean, some of us are even sitting in our chairs right now thinking, well, you have no idea how many things in my world would fall apart right now if I took a day off. Right? Or how my household would crumble, or how my business would fail, or how my grades would suffer. But really, if that's where we are, then what we're saying is, I don't think God's principles are true. Right? That when he said he's going to take care of all of my needs if I'm going to stop and rest in him, he didn't really mean all of my needs. Or maybe that's not it. Right? Maybe it kind of goes back to wanting God's best for our lives. Maybe we really don't want God's best for our lives because we're scared that his plan is not as much fun as my plan. It's a faith issue. Do we believe that God will provide for all of our needs, and do we believe that his way is better than our own? Sadly, I think that's why these two things are kind of the first to go when our margins get squeezed. And the world that we live in just makes it harder because it just tempts us with so many things. Did you know that there are companies, I looked this up this week because someone had mentioned this previously and I was surprised, but there are companies that will even trade cash for unused vacation days at the end of the year, right? If you don't take rest, they're going to pay you for that, right? They're going to dangle that carrot above your head. Think about how much little time we get off already as a culture. And they want to take the little bit of time we don't get, and they want to take that away from us. I also found out the United States is the only developed country in the world without a single legally required paid vacation day or holiday. Right? By law, every country in the European Union, by law, has at least 4 weeks of paid vacation. I'm not going to give you any more specifics than that because number one, it's going to make you cry. Number two, it's going to make you move away. But it's important to be a part of the where or be aware of the culture that we're living in. Right? That's the culture we're living in. We need to be careful, Scripture says, of how we live. We can't get sucked up in that. Think about that. That's normal. That's the default of our country. Now let me end with this. For those of us that are believers, as we struggle with our time, as we make decisions on what we're going to do and what we're not going to do, do we really think it's wise to neglect our time with God daily? Do we really think it's wise to ignore one of his top 10 principles of rest in light of what we know is true about God? Right? Well, in light of his love for us, in light of the truth of his word, is it wise? Worldly logic will tell us we don't have time for these things. But Scripture tells us we don't have time to not do these things. We are, by our very human, sinful nature, out of alignment with God. But as believers, we have to fight against the culture. We have to fight against normal. We have to continue to act against the pull of that wheel that wants to pull us in different directions. We have to purposely let God transform us into new creations, weird creations, because normal is not working. We have to realign ourselves with God every day and take the time to rest in our souls and rest in our Savior. Because I promise you, if we don't, we are going to be missing God's best for our lives. Let's pray. Father, I will be the first one to admit this is an easy topic to talk about, but it's one of the hardest truths to live out. We are immersed in a culture that believes rest is a luxury and worship is a special occasion. But we know, Father God, that both of these are crucial to living out our faith every single day. Help us, Father, to live the transformed life you have called us to. Help us to embrace being weird in a God way. Help us to be wise about how we spend our time, knowing that these days are evil. Help us to be careful before we commit to something, to stop and ask the question, is it wise? I pray that you would help us to take an honest look at our schedules this week and bring them to you and ask, are there good things here that are keeping me from your best? In light of who I am, in light of my family, in light of where you want me to grow in my life, in light of my faith, in light of my relationship with you, is it wise? And then, Father, give us the courage to say no to those things, maybe even some good things, so that we can say yes to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.